Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy diseases, who forgiveth all thy iniquities. We're standing on holy ground tonight. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And if you were helping to sing, we said it eight times, O wonderful, wonderful word of the Lord. And so I do plan to open the word of God. If you look carefully, there's a lot of bookmarks here. So I plan to turn to various passages and just let the Lord speak. In the first song, we invited the Holy Spirit to be in our midst. Come, gracious Spirit. Come, gracious Spirit. So we've got the Word of God. We're on holy ground because of the Lord's presence. We have the Holy Spirit. The Lord wants to bless us tonight. Just for curiosity and maybe starting point, how many were at Cataldo Mennonite this past Sunday morning? So I probably saw you then. So the rest of you were not, right? Just about the time I get to know everybody at Cataldo, then bye-bye, I'll go to another place. So I'll start over and see if I can learn to know this group. You got a lot of empty spots here, but very spacious. The title that was given to me, I took that as a choice of those three. Either be faithful or be perfect or holiness of life. So which one do you want? Maybe I'll make a few comments about one that I've hardly ever heard anybody else speak about. I do remember giving a talk on it one time, the one about be perfect. Be perfect? Is anybody perfect here? I thought that might just step on somebody's toes and in mine too. But you know, in the setting where I grew up, the Amish church, they still do that to this day as far as I know. The doxology at the end of every service is 2 Corinthians 13, 11 to 14. That's in your Bibles. Zuletzt liebe Brüder, Freierei, seid vollkommen. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Finally, my brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Vollkommen, perfect. That means complete, perfect. And actually, the Bible does say a lot about being perfect. We're quick to say we're not perfect, and it's good we acknowledge that. But it does mean something. Jesus said at the end of Matthew 5, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, when I heard that in the Amish church, and others maybe were guilty too, I didn't realize what was being said. Just before we left, we were told, be perfect. Seid vollkommen. I'd give that as a, if you haven't yet, give that as a message idea for some time. Somebody preached from 2 Corinthians 13, 11 to 14. That's the mandate for the church. 5, 6 clear points there. But I think I'll go with be faithful. That's what we're all called to be. I invite you to turn to Revelation 2. I thought of suggesting or at least asking, could I save this for the last message and switch with what's assigned for Sunday evening? But I said, no. Let the Word of God minister each evening just as it's given here. Not necessarily a particular order. The seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3, they all had some things that were the same. Either at the beginning or the end it was said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. What the Spirit saith unto the churches. So if you have ears tonight, tune in. What the Lord told the church, the various churches he's telling each of us. Looking at what we call the good church, Revelation 2, verse 10, the church at Smyrna. It says, fear none of these those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. The end of verse 11, then the promise, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. There's three B's here that lend itself to messages. One is be faithful. The next church, or Revelation 3:2, says be watchful. And then 3:19 to the church of Laodicea, be zealous. So those are three short sermonettes. Be faithful, be watchful, be zealous. The Lord is calling us to that. But let's focus on this thing of being faithful. Verse 10, 2:10, it says, be fearless and be faithful. Don't have to be afraid. There's a lot of suffering going on, or persecution going on. Fear thou not. Fear none of these things. Be faithful. As far as I know, there's no indictment against the church at Smyrna, unless verse 9 is, if those hypocritical Jews were part of that group. What do we mean by be faithful? I found three words in the Greek dictionary that I think you can remember. Trustworthy, true, sure. Be trustworthy, be true, be sure. Be as good as your word. So are you suffering something? Be faithful. Do you have many responsibilities? Be faithful. Do you have one talent? Be faithful. Have you made some vows recently? Was anybody baptized recently? In the last year? Be faithful. Were you baptized 35 years ago? Be faithful. When you got married, did you make any vows? Be faithful. We understand what that means? Be faithful. It's a state of being. Either we're faithful or we're not faithful. Yes, being affects doing, and I don't like to argue about the difference between what's more important, being and doing. It's all part of a package. I believe in doing. I really do. We are to be doers of the word. But yes, we be so that we do. We do because we be. They're all intertwined. It's nothing worth arguing about which is more important. They're both important. Do faithfully, be faithful. Yes, the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. That's where it starts. So be faithful to what extent? It says here, be thou faithful unto death. The Amplified would say, be faithful, that is, even if you must die for it. And I understand the Anabaptists early on, when they got baptized, for many of them, they knew that this could mean the death sentence pretty soon, especially if you were a leader. You were baptized and identified with the church. You were hunted. You were persecuted. But you were willing to do that for the Lord's sake. Be faithful even if it costs death. Would it be worth dying for? There's a book called Worth Dying For, I think. But if we want to have a faith that's worth dying for, then we need a faith that's worth living for. We need to experience that life. And when we die in the Lord, then it's living. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. It's even greater life. It says in the promise, I will give thee a crown of life. Even if you die, I will give thee a crown of life. And the end of verse 11, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. What is infinitely worse than dying the physical death is the second death, where we'd forever be separated from the Lord. But if we're in the Lord, to die is to enter into a better life, into the next life. Think with me about two examples of faithful men. maybe right here in Revelation 2 for starters. One of them, I think, is mentioned in verse 8. Unto the angel of the church in Smyrna. Do you know who that angel was? Do you know his name? It's Polycarp. He was the leader of the church at Smyrna. His name was Polycarp. You can read, how many have a martyr's mirror in your house? All right, some of you do. Sometime next few days, you might want to look up page 112 to 114 and read about Polycarp again. He was a faithful martyr, faithful witness. This was written specifically to him. He passed it on to the church at Smyrna, I think. And today it's part of the Holy Writ, so it's passed on to us. But the calling was, I think, very personal to Polycarp when he first got this letter. Have you ever tried to imagine what it would be like to read this letter for the very first time? We read it 100 times and maybe don't realize once upon a time this was written and it was a specific letter with a specific message. Anyhow, according to the martyr's mirror, he was being threatened with death by the beast and by the fire. And some of his quotes during that time. I shall never do what you request or counsel me to do. They saw he was unmovable in his faith. They threw him out of the carriage. They dragged him for a while. He was an old man. And he said at one point, I have now served the Lord Jesus Christ for 86 years. And he's never done me any harm. How could I deny my king, who has hitherto preserved me from all evil and faithfully redeemed me? And so the persecutors would threaten him further and say, the beasts are coming. The beasts are coming. Maybe the lions were coming. And Polycarp would respond, let them come. My purpose is unchangeable. We cannot be converted or perverted from good to evil by affliction. Then they'd threaten him with fire. We're going to burn you. You threaten me with a fire which will perhaps burn for an hour and then soon go out? But why delayest thou? Bring on the beast. Bring on the fire. Whatever thou mayest choose, thou shalt not by either of them move me to deny Christ, my Lord and Savior. Read the rest for yourself. He was a faithful martyr. I don't know how many of you read the martyr's mirror. I haven't looked in it for a while. There's one young sister in our latest instruction class. We didn't tell her to. I don't think her parents did. But she says her daily devotions includes reading Martyr's Mirror. This is a 15-year-old. I hold that before you as maybe a good example. There's so much you can learn from the example of faithful ones in the past. Another example here want to notice is verse 13. You're still in Revelation 2. This is the next letter to Pergamos. Revelation 2:13 says, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. My faithful martyr. Now, Pergamos was a heretical church. As a whole, there was some things said against them. But even in this church setting, in this dark, unfavorable setting, there was a bright spot. There was a faithful martyr. And he's commended by Jesus himself. Does your Bible have all this in red letters? You know what that means, I guess. Not that it's more inspired of God than the rest, but it's special to realize that our Lord himself spoke these words. So if you look, open your big martyr's mirror to page number 95, I think you'll find a picture of this man, Antipas. He's enclosed in a red-hot brazen ox, and apparently he was burned alive with great pain. Yet in steadfastness to the end, Well, in Revelation, let's notice our greatest example of all, Revelation 1:5. Revelation is, I don't know why it says that way in my Bible. Mine says the revelation of St. John, but in reality, this book is the revelation of Jesus Christ. He is revealed in the revelation. He is the exalted one in the book of Revelation. Not John. John falls down and worships him. The revelation. Jesus was revealed. Yes, he was revealed to John. And as we read Revelation, blessed are we if we read it, and when Jesus is revealed to us. We haven't started yet, but we talked about it recently in our ministers' meeting, at our men's meeting, that we think we ought to incorporate a reading of the book of Revelation in our services, maybe one chapter per time. Because it says, blessed is he that readeth. It doesn't say he that interprets it and understands everything, but blessed is he that readeth. There's something about reading this and seeing Jesus in the revelation that is meant to be a blessing, to be an encouragement. Nothing to argue about. It's something to be blessed by reading and looking forward with greater anticipation for our Lord. But notice verse 5 here, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. Jesus is the faithful witness. First begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Revelation 3:14. Let's see. The faithful and true witness. 3:14. That's how Jesus is introduced to the church at Laodicea. I don't know if you ever noticed this, but every time Jesus is introduced in one of these seven letters to the churches, he's describing himself in a way that fits the condition of the church. Now, this church at Laodicea was very deceived. They thought they were one way, but they were another way. They thought they could see well, and they were rich, and they were deceived. So Jesus introduces himself in 3:14. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. The true witness. The beginning of the creation of God. And since you're in Revelation 17:14, calling us to that as well. These shall make war with the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Trustworthy, true, sure, if we're on Jesus' side. Am I a faithful witness? Be thou faithful. Let's sing Faith of Our Fathers, two verses. Let's see, that's song number 908 in your purple books, I think. This is what we use at home, so I'm kind of familiar with this book. We'll take time for the first two verses. 908.
Faith of our fathers living still. Fathers chained in prison star, we're still in heart and conscience free. How sweet would be their children's faith if they like them.
That's the kind of song that gets my blood stirring a bit. Do we really mean that? And do I really mean verse 2? That it would actually be a blessing if my son would die on the mission field. Really? How sweet would be their children's fate if they, like them, could die for thee? We're called to be faithful. Faithful. No matter what it costs. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. What was said to Smyrna is said to us today. Habakkuk 2:4 says, I think this is one of two verses in the Old Testament where you find the word faith. I'm just giving the last half of the verse where it says, but the just shall live by his faith. And you might recognize that as a phrase in the New Testament. I think it's in Hebrews, or quotes from the Old Testament. The New Testament has a lot of those quotes that come right from the Old Testament, ties them together. The just shall live by his faith. And I think the Amplified, maybe some other versions, add, and in his faithfulness. The just shall live by faith and in his faithfulness. Some versions, when you go through the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. When it says faith, it says faithfulness. And I think they're really tied together. We can't be faithful if we're not living by faith. True living faith that we're contending for moves us to being faithful. Doesn't mean necessarily full of faith, but that is certainly an asset. If we are full of faith, then we can be faithful. Those men that went to the stake, those that were martyred, don't you think their faith was just full? They were just so sure that the Lord was with them and that once they pass through this, it'll be worth it all. They will meet their Lord. They were full of faith, and thus they were faithful. Some statistics on this lovely word, faithful, found 28 times in the Old Testament, 53 times in the New Testament, faithfully, 7 times in the Old and once in the New. I gave you the Greek definition. The Hebrew dictionary adds words like this: steadfast, established, and trusty. Steadfast, established, and trusty. And that's the kind of people we're called to be, as we're faithful. As a noun, faithfulness would mean firmness, fidelity, and security. It's used to describe God, and it's used to describe us if we belong to God. The word unfaithful is found 2 times in the Bible, I think. What would it say about unfaithfulness? Let me read those 2 verses. Proverbs 25:19. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Ouch. Did you ever have a broken tooth or a broken ankle or foot? If you have confidence in an unfaithful man, let's suppose you're that unfaithful man and somebody has confidence in you. What a pain. What a disappointment. What the Word of God says. The other one is found in Psalm 78. Psalm 78, verse 57. This is describing Israelites. They had kind of a sorry history, too much of it. How they often turned their backs on God. It says here, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow. And what was the result of that? When they were like that, the Israelites? And when we're like that? Verse 59 and following, when God heard this, he was wroth, and he greatly abhorred Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which he placed among men, delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hand. He gave his people over unto the sword, and he was wroth with his inheritance, and so on. The results of being unfaithful. Rather sobering. Let's turn to Psalm 89 for a beautiful picture, for a beautiful foundation. Let's sing verse 1, Psalm 89. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Our perfect example of faithfulness is the Lord. And we said here, it says here in verse 1, that we will make it known to all our generations, to our children, to our peers, to our children, to our grandchildren. We're going to make it known how faithful God is. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Now let's look at five more verses in this psalm that specifically mention faithfulness. Verse 2. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. It's established in the heavens. Did you have to tell the sun this morning what time to get up? It just keeps right on schedule. Did you have to do anything about making sure that spring comes around again after long, hard winter? Things are right on schedule in the heavens because God is faithful. They can predict the next eclipse of the moon or the sun long time in advance. Is that a product of evolution? I trow not. This is God's faithfulness. Things are created and upheld by God's faithfulness. Did you ever have Morris Yoder here? The heavens declare the glory of God. It is just staggering. I mean, it's wonderful. I just enjoy hearing more and more about God's faithfulness in every part of his creation. Whether it's up there or whether it's in the birds that some of you love to watch, and the swans and the ducks, and how God created them. God's faithfulness. Verse 5 has the word in it. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. Oh, his faithfulness should be seen in the church at Pine Grove. In the congregation of the saints is the Lord's faithfulness seen here. Verse 8, O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? It's like the faithfulness of God just surrounds him. That's just part of who he is. God is faithful, and thus he will do faithfully. And that's the way it should be for us. If we be faithful, we will do faithfully. It will surround us. And everybody around us will know that we are faithful, or that God is faithful, and thus we be faithful. Anybody else see a verse with faithfulness in it, in this psalm? 24. I think this is now speaking about David's. In verse 20, God is saying, I have found David my servant. And now this is the continuing thought. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, David, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. God's faithfulness was promised to David. God's faithfulness included mercy. God was faithful in his mercy. Now that corresponds with what I like to quote frequently from Lamentations 3. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His faithfulness is great every morning. And also verse 33, also toward David and us. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. You think God's faithfulness would fail? I don't think so. Psalm 119:86 says, all thy commandments are faithful. Psalm 119:138, thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. Deuteronomy 7:9. I know you don't have time to turn to all these, but you can at least reference them. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. That's a long time. But God's faithfulness continues to every generation. Our part, keep covenant, keep mercy, love him, keep his commandments, however you want to say it. By nature, God is faithful. That's his nature. That's his character. Is there anything God cannot do? Well, it says in Hebrews 6:18 that he is immutable and he cannot lie. And we could say this evening, he cannot be unfaithful, because that would be against his very nature. And what did Balaam say in Numbers 23:19? God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not spoken and shall he not make it good? Just count on it. If the Lord said so, then it will be so. He is faithful. So now let's sing verse 1 of Greatest Thy Faithfulness. That's 155, and if you don't know it by heart. 155, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee.
Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not, as thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
I like to brag on God's faithfulness. He's been doing it for 68 years. Lord, unto me. Great is thy faithfulness. I like to notice first references. So where is the first place in the Bible where the word faithful is found? I think it's in Numbers 12:7. There it's talking about Moses. Numbers 12:7 says, my servant Moses is not so. Well, maybe I should read the verse before so we understand what it means by is not so. The Lord spoke to different people through a vision, and he spoke to others through a dream. But this is what it says about Moses. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Something about Moses, that he had very personal contact with God. God spoke to him as man with man, face to face, I think it says. Because Well, one of the attributes of Moses was he is faithful in all my house. Can that be said of you? As a father, as a church leader, he, John, he, Alan, he, whoever, is faithful in all my house. It's a challenge for all of us. That's repeated in Hebrews 3, 2, and 5. I don't think I'll take time to turn to that, but it says Moses is a faithful servant in the Lord's house. Moses was faithful. Christ was faithful. And the rest of us are all called to faithfulness in the Lord's house, in the Lord's work. In 1 Samuel, in the days of Eli, there were some that were unfaithful. Eli's sons weren't very faithful. And they died, Hophni and Phinehas. The verse after that says, I will raise me up a faithful priest who shall do according to that which is in my heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house. He shall walk before mine anointed forever. That was the promise to the faithful one. So if you'd be unfaithful, I think the Lord would raise up somebody else that would be faithful, as he did in this scenario. God's work will continue. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The church will continue. But the question, well, the calling for all of us is to be faithful. Will we be faithful? 1 Samuel 22, 4. Let me give out some references. Volunteer readers, I don't have to turn to all these. 1 Samuel 22, 14. Thank you, Conrad. Nehemiah 7, 2. Nehemiah 9, 7, 8. Nehemiah 13, 13. Thank you. You can go ahead and read those as soon as you have them in that order. 1 Samuel 22. Okay. Would that honor fit to you? Who is so faithful as David? Who is so faithful as Carlin? Who is so faithful as whatever your name is? David was given that honor or credit. Nehemiah had faithful men. And the story of Nehemiah. 7:2. I don't plan to say a lot about all these verses, but note the connection between fear of God and faithful. The faithful man will have the fear of God. 9, 7, and 8.
Thou art the Lord the God who didst choose Abram and brought him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees and gavest him the name of Abraham and foundest his heart faithful before thee and madest a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites,
thank you. Appreciate you reading loudly and clearly that everybody can hear. Abraham had a faithful heart, and that's what the Lord wants of us. How about 13:13? So if you want brethren that would distribute among, if you want deacons, if you want church workers, you want those that are faithful. When you go over qualifications before an ordination, we plan to have an ordination till fall, Lord willing. Often you go through the pastoral epistles, Timothy and Titus, and you might notice that about all these qualifications, or most of them, refer to the person's character, the way he actually is, instead of how well he can preacher, how dynamic his voice is or whatever. It's his quality of life. And for certain, you could summarize it all by saying faithful, a person that is faithful. Faithful at home, faithful at work, faithful. Daniel 6:4, the presidents and princes sought occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful. A few verses earlier on in, the verse previous says he had an excellent spirit. So I'm suggesting that an excellent spirit includes a faithful spirit. Well, that's part of being faithful, is having that excellent spirit, the Spirit of God. All right, time's racing on, and our brother has things to say as well. I thought of the children that are here. You can actually find examples of faithful children in the Bible. Did you ever read about a little boy that went to the temple about 6 years old, maybe, and he was left there? His name was Samuel. And when Eli called him, he answered. We know that story. He was faithful. Josiah, he started age 8, and he did what was right in God's sight. He didn't turn right or left. Josiah. David, he was the youngest of 8 boys, and he was called. The slave girl, she was faithful. So I'm encouraging all the children that are here, be faithful even when you're young. That's a good time to start. Be faithful at home and at school and Sunday school. Do whatever you're expected to do and asked to do. When mom and dad say, well, you need to behave now, what they really mean is be faithful. I think so. Needed. Faithful children, faithful youth, faithful moms and dads, faithful to their covenant, faithful to their promises, faithful at home, faithful in front of the computer, faithful on the job, faithful in private, faithful anytime, anywhere. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. There are promises we could look at. Psalm 101:6 says the Lord will notice his eyes over the land looking for the faithful one. Psalm 101:6. The faithful man shall abound with blessings. Proverbs 27:20. May we praise the Lord for his faithfulness, and may we also be faithful unto death, and we shall be rewarded with life eternal.